Today is the fifth day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here together today as we gather yet again and take another step forward. And our step forward today leads us to the conclusion of another one of our books together. And so we've been reading through the book of Ecclesiastes, which we will conclude today and then step into new territory tomorrow. But first, let's conclude the book of Ecclesiastes. Today, chapters 10, 11, and 12. As dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. A wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong one. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street. If your boss is angry at you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. There is another evil I have seen under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. I have even seen servants riding horseback like princes and princes walking like servants. When you dig a well, you might fall in. When you demolish an old wall, you could be bitten by a snake. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there is danger with each stroke of your axe. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. If a snake bites before you charm it, what's the use of being a snake charmer? Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on. No one really knows what is going to happen. No one can predict the future. Fools are so exhausted by a little work that they can't even find their way home. What sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. Happy is the land whose king is a noble leader, and whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. Laziness leads to a sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaky house. A party gives laughter. Wine gives happiness. And money gives everything. Never make light of the king, even in your thoughts. And don't make fun of the powerful, even in your own bedroom. For a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. Send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life, but let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth, with a whole life before you, is meaningless. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, "Life is not pleasant anymore." Remember Him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember Him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember Him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember Him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper, and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember Him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful. For writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Second Corinthians 8, 1 through 15. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty He could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Psalm 49. For the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Listen to this, all you people. Pay attention, everyone in the world, high and low, rich and poor. Listen, for my words are wise and my thoughts are filled with insight. I listen carefully to many proverbs and solve riddles with inspiration from a harp. Why should I fear when trouble comes, when enemies surround me? They trust in their wealth and boast of great riches, yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom to God. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever and never see the grave. Those who are wise must finally die, just like the foolish and senseless, leaving all their wealth behind. The grave is their eternal home, where they will stay forever. They may name their estates after themselves, but their fame will not last. They will die, just like animals. This is the fate of fools, though they are remembered as being wise. Like sheep, they are led to the grave, where death will be their shepherd. In the morning, the godly will rule over them. Their bodies will rot in the grave, far from their grand estates. But as for me, God will redeem my life. He will snatch me from the power of the grave. So don't be dismayed when the wicked grow rich and their homes become ever more splendid. For when they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. In this life, they consider themselves fortunate and are applauded for their success. But they will die like all before them and never again see the light of day. People who boast of their wealth don't understand. They will die just like animals. Proverbs 22, 20, and 21. I have written 30 sayings for you, filled with advice and knowledge. In this way you may know the truth and take an accurate report to those who sent you. Okay, so we concluded the book of Ecclesiastes today, a book that can seem quite cynical and pessimistic. So it becomes helpful for us to understand that Solomon is looking back over his life in a subtractive sort of way, what we would theologically call an apophatic sort of way. So in terms of meaning and purpose, he can look at his life and look at all that he has done and say, that didn't prove meaningful. That didn't prove meaningful. That didn't prove meaningful. He's looking at his whole life and realizing most of it has been chasing the wind. For all of his pursuits and all of the pleasures that he experienced, he found in the end, mostly it was useless activity. And this wasn't somebody who didn't try. He applied all of his energy to pursue beauty and wisdom and understanding. He searched all over the world for the answers to the unanswerable questions, and then in the end, as you two says in the Joshua Tree, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That song from Bono is taken directly out of the book of Ecclesiastes, because this is where the teacher arrived. And so he's taking this sobering look at the end of his life and subtracting away from his life and experience everything that he found ultimately to be meaningless, coming to the conclusion that without a fundamental respect and awareness of the sovereign God, nothing can possibly make sense. This is wisdom being offered from a person who has done everything. Everything that he could think of doing, he did. These are the conclusions of that person. And what does he finally conclude? Oh, I quote, "That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad." So the conclusion of the teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes is essentially what the Bible concludes, right? Give your heart in surrender and awe and reverence to God. Offer yourself in faithful worship. Be loyal to the relationship. Honor God and do what he says to do. This is what everybody is supposed to do. It's the only way we find meaning. And so may we sit with these conclusions coming out of the Bible, because this is coming from a person who would know, right? A person who has been able to experience things that we won't. And this is where this person landed. If you want a meaningful life, fear God and obey him. And how can we even know if we are? We just have to watch ourselves. We know by now that we can say a lot of things, but what we really believe is how we actually live. So we have to watch how we actually live, because that's telling us the true story of what we believe. So we have to learn to ask ourselves, can I worship God in this? Can I find God in this thing that I'm trying to do? If I subtract all of the things that I want out of this, can I find God in it? These are fair things for us. They're worthy things for us to be considering about the way we live our lives, because if Ecclesiastes is coming to this conclusion and the Bible is coming to this conclusion, then we're not going to find meaning another way. And as we're considering that, and as we prepare to move away from this territory, let's be grateful. We've spent some time in the underbelly of life. The Bible has given us the gift of being able to talk about things. It's talking about things. We go through the book of Job and we are in the midst of suffering, and we begin to think about our own lives. We go through the book of Ecclesiastes and we're considering purpose and meaning and what actually has value. The Bible has brought us here because we need to consider these things. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that, all of this territory that we've been in recently, our suffering, our unanswerable questions, our doubts, our purpose and sense of meaning and rootedness, and where we get our value, and that we can spend a whole life chasing the wind and not ever find it when it can only be found in you. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good afternoon, fellow Dabbers. This is God's Chosen from Georgia, and I'm responding to Rebecca's mother's call. Rebecca is 14 years old. I heard your cry for desperation for your daughter this morning. Moving her from a mental facility into a non-mental facility. You described your daughter as wounded, as molested. She feels unworthy. She is autistic. She suffered bullying at school. And we're joining you this day to fast and to pray for your beloved daughter, Rebecca. Father, we come before you on behalf of Rebecca to pray for your love and ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would comfort this mom in her desperation. I pray that you will give her peace over her daughter, Rebecca. I pray in the name of Jesus that you give her comfort. I pray just like Anna cried out to you. She cried when she had nowhere else to turn to. And her cry became a pathway to divine intervention. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that through this mother's cry, through her tears today, the heavens will open for favor for Rebecca, that she'll be able to get all the help that she needs, that Rebecca will feel worthy, that Rebecca will get help, that Rebecca will get divine intervention, that everything this child needs, your hands will provide in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for peace of mind for this mother. I pray in the name of Jesus that you comfort and keep her.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I heard a couple of prayer requests today that were heavy on my heart, so I wanted to call in as soon as possible. I heard a sister in Christ call in about her daughter, Rebecca, who's 14, who is currently institutionalized with mental health issues and attempted suicide, and her heart was just breaking for her daughter. And I just want to pray for her right now that she would be delivered from that spirit of fear, that spirit of suicide, that her mind would be restored. And I want to tell you that Jesus loves her, because Matthew 19:14 says, but Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. I will continue to pray for Rebecca. And then, Devin, you called in and you're struggling with a bout of shingles and now some low back issues and in a lot of pain as we are reading Job, as you pointed out. So I want to pray that there's complete healing of those shingles and restoration to you with your strength, and that the Lord would begin to remold and open up the passages in your back that might be compromising any nerves and relieve the pain in Jesus' name. Psalm 30, verses 1 and 2 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help and you have healed me. So hold on to that verse, Devin. Thank you, Daily Audio Bible family.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Saved by Grace in California. I just want to lift up my sister who just called regarding her son who was, the seed has been planted in Christ in him, and now he has decided he no longer believes. I just want to lift her up and encourage her that to stand on that proverb where God says that train a child up in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And we just, as parents, we stand on that promise. And God is not a man that he should lie. So we just stand, and I stand in agreement with you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my sister. I lift up her son to you. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I pray, Father God, for a discernment over her, words of wisdom that the Holy Spirit would guide her voice and her message to her son and every going on around him, that the power of Christ and the love and the peace and the patience of Christ only will come out when she is around him. I pray, Father God, that you would bring back to his remembrance everything and anything, Father God, that is of you, that he has related to he's seen the power in the past in his life and his life and others' life. Bring that back to his remembrance. And I pray, Father God, for a surrender of his heart, mind, soul, will, and emotions unto you, Jesus. Help him see his need for you. Open his eyes to the lies and the deceit that the enemy is trying to portray over him, God. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Today is September 2nd, and I heard the woman who called about her 18-year-old son who's turned away from the Lord. Sister, I hear you. Your story sounds like my own because my 17-year-old has turned away from God too. Your story sounds almost exactly like mine. And I know how brokenhearted you feel because I feel the same. And I know what it's like to feel like a failure as a mom because I feel the same. But I hope that I can encourage you with the words of God from Mark chapter 9, verses 28 through 29. When the apostles asked Jesus why they could not cast out the evil spirit from the boy. We moms have questions like the apostles when our child's faith does not develop like we planned. But Jesus answered the apostles by saying, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Let me encourage you that Jesus wants us to continue in prayer for them always. So I pray that Jesus will restore our son's faith because only he can. And I pray for the day that we will rejoice for our child's salvation. God bless you, my sister.